The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell with the Glass Lady Project, and today joining me I have Jeannie Johnson. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
You've joined us before on this show, and you've always got such great stories and history knowledge of Becker County. And I thought, you know, August, we start to think a little bit about back to school. We're getting ready with school supplies. You've done a lot of research and reading on one-room schoolhouses of Becker County. Tell us a little bit about that. I know that they were in existence, most of them, until around the maybe 50s. Is that correct?
The last one was out in 1962. The schools were organized in about 1870. They were just one by one as the need arose. Then wherever there were more people, then they wanted a school. They started one. The first one that was taught, and it was in Audubon Township, and it was on a farm owned by Henry Way, and it was just a small little building, wood frame, and that was in 1871.
How many one-room schoolhouses were there in existence, kind of in the prime, if you will?
There were 133 country schools in Becker County. Every township had four. They were situated so that no child would have to walk more than 2 miles to go to school because there were no buses. In 1947, there were 133 schools. But they were already closing by then, and from 1947 on, you know, quite a few went out right in that area. About 27 were closed at that time and were consolidated into the other schools. And the first schools, of course, were just little buildings made out of wood, and they usually would have an entryway where you would leave your clothes and your lunch. And they were usually heated by either coal or wood. And sometimes there'd be a shed in the back for the coal or wood. And in fact, some of the pictures that we have, they even have barns for the children that came with their horses.
Sure. And many of these schools we've already mentioned, but you know, we still have kind of those living in generations that remember going to those schoolhouses, because although we think of that being something maybe back from the late 1800s or early 1900s, you know, yep, many people that are in their 60s, 70s went to school in one-room schoolhouses. How did they do things to teach at a one-room schoolhouse? Were there requirements?
And you had to go to school. In the very beginning, and which I wasn't part of it because I'm not that old, but after the eighth grade, they could take tests and teach at a very early age. And then a little bit later, like I went to a year of teacher training, then they had a teacher training here in Detroit Lakes, and you'd go 1 year, and then if you successfully completed their course of study, then you could teach in the rural schools. And then in the very beginning, because my sister, my older sister, she had a lifetime certificate, so she didn't have to go back to take any more schooling. But then I graduated from teacher training in 1952, and then I was only allowed to teach 1 year, and then I'd have to take continuing classes.
Okay.
So every summer I took classes until then I went back to college and completed. But you had to continue your education. So a person could be 19 years old, 18 years old, and could start teaching with 1 year. And we had real concentrated classes. Like I went to Park Rapids for teacher training, but I imagine it was the same in Detroit Lakes. And then you'd go, you'd have your classes, and then you would actually teach. And we taught the whole year. We started in just right away teaching in the grade schools. You had real good training because you knew how it was going to go.
Sure.
But most of the people that became country school teachers had been country school teachers, so they knew how the school was organized.
Sure, they'd gone to them. And
because you had the eight grades, and you had to work each of the grades in every day. I mean, you just have a short period of time, and then the children would be on their own to study and get ready for their next class. And
a lot more maybe independent studying.
There was a lot of independent study.
Yeah.
And there was hardly any homework. Say you had your spelling class, and then you would study your spelling, and then you'd have your spelling class for the next day, but you did it in school.
Yeah.
You didn't have to take it home. And your mathematics, you had your lesson, and then you did your work, and you had it done for the next day.
Sure.
And then the older children always helped the younger children. And, well, I went to through eighth grade, and really enjoyed. I loved every minute of school. And I think most of the children that went to country loved it.
Yeah. Were the school years structured the same? Were they the same length of time and the same length during the day?
They were probably the same length during the day, 9 to 4. When I started school, that was what, 70 years ago, more than that. 75 years ago, holy smokes. We only had 8 months of school. And I'm not sure if they took off a month in the middle of the winter or did they divide it up. But I think we took it all off at Christmas time, around that time, because that was the coldest time of the year.
Sure.
So we just had 8 months school. But by the time I was in the eighth grade, we were having 9 months already. Okay. But I think that was with the roads. The roads were better.
I did another project a few years ago where I spoke to a gal who'd gone to a one-room schoolhouse, and she remembered from her young years, they must have lived close to that mile or perhaps a little mm-hmm. more than a mile away, because she spoke about her dad getting the team ready and the blankets and kind of the process that it took to get to school. Did most kids walk, or did they get rides when it was cold out?
I can't say about everyone, but I would imagine it would depend on where you lived. And if you lived more in the open prairie and such, maybe more children had rides. Or depended on the parents themselves, of course, of what they can do. I know my dad would take us to school once in a while, and we'd hear the sleigh coming, and oh, how we were happy that had this. But otherwise, it never seemed much of a walk.
Yeah.
We walked a little over a mile. But then you walked in those days. We didn't go places with cars. And everybody walked. If you went to the neighbors, you walked. But you just did it. And it was life. And it was the life you knew. So you enjoyed it.
Right. How many kids on average would be in one particular schoolhouse?
I was researching the Goat Ranch School. And when they started, they had 18. And then as the people moved in, there were as many as like 36 in that building. And then it went down, and every year it was always different. Sometimes it was as few as 11 in the school, and sometimes it was 14. And in some of the schools that closed, they had very few pupils that came, and so it was more economical to send them someplace than to have a teacher. And
sure.
And then of course the teachers would come, they'd always have to board in the community. And there'd always have to be somebody be willing to board them. But of course, later years, in the 40s and 50s, I'm sure, 30s, 40s, and 50s, they could drive where they were going.
Yeah.
But before that, they would stay in the community, and people would board the teachers, which was always really a nice thing to do. You always felt like, you know, if the teacher boarded at your house. And maybe some of the children didn't like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when we had teachers boarding, we always thought it was so nice.
Very. Had an extra special guest.
Yes.
Those schoolhouses really serve, alongside educating kids and the youth and raising the future, they served a pretty significant role in those tiny communities in other ways, too.
They were the center of the community. They were really the center of the community. There were a lot of visitors to the schools. When you read the newspapers, it'll always tell you how many visitors they had a month. And a lot of times in the teacher's notes, it would tell you exactly who came to visit. And then there were the Halloween programs and the Christmas programs, which were a big thing. And a lot of times they'd have dances or basket socials. And any group, if you didn't have a church, people could meet at the school. It was really the very center of the community. And I think that's when the consolidation of schools took place. It took a lot out of the community. We don't have a lot of places where people meet as much as they did then. It changed all of the community.
If there were roughly 4 schoolhouses in each township, were there much interaction between the schoolhouses?
They were really separate. I think they really were a community about themselves. But there were things that they did, just like we do now. I visited and went to a few of the school picnics. Sometimes there were baseball games between the schools and such, in which a big rivalry and different things. But no, I don't remember that there was so much going on between the schools. If you were part of a school, then that was your school district, and you got to know everybody in that district.
And I know you've done quite a bit of research, and you've gathered quite a few pictures over the years. All of the pictures that we have available through the Becker County Museum, we had on display down at the Becker County Fair. What is something that you have found particularly interesting when you've been doing research?
I think one of the most interesting, and the thing that you really maybe expected, that all the schools were alike. That if you went to school up by 2 inlets, or whether you went to school in Lakeview, your school day was very much the same, because what you learned was set up by the state, and every school was taught exactly the same thing. and the songs that we sang were the same songs. We had the county music festival, and not all the children, of course, came to the music festival, but the Holmes Theater was just filled with children, and we had all learned exactly the same songs. So that kind of brought us together, because if you came to the music festival, you didn't have to learn a song, because it was the song that you had learned.
Sure.
And then they had them in order. They had it planned, which songs that we would sing and everything. Some of the schools were chosen to act out a part or something in that song. They were so much the same. If you were through the seventh grade, then you took a test in geography.
Okay.
You didn't have to take it in the town school. And then if you didn't pass it, you had to take geography classes again in the eighth grade. So you couldn't graduate from the eighth grade until in the seventh grade you passed geography test. And the eighth grade, then you took the other tests. You took English and math and social science and spelling. And you had to pass all of those, otherwise you could not graduate the eighth grade. So all the country schools were alike in that way. Children in the town schools didn't have to take the test. They just went into the ninth grade if their teacher said they could.
Sure.
But we all had to do the examinations. Every child that graduated from the eighth grade, we got a graduation certificate, and we had a graduation program here in the home school.
Okay.
And every one of us walked across the stage, and we got our diplomas, which you didn't do if you were in town school.
Because you went just automatically went on to ninth grade.
Yeah, you went on, but you don't have that eighth grade
that
diploma.
Eighth grade certificate. So after that graduation, did many of them then go on to school in town elsewhere, or did they work at
I don't know the percentage, and that would be an interesting thing to find out. There weren't buses. So no, the country's children couldn't ride the bus to the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the town kids that went to town schools. So a lot of the country kids, they had to board in town, like we boarded in town. Then there were the University of Minnesota had schools in Crookston and in Grand Rapids, and I'm not sure where else they had them, but you could go to boarding schools and go to school there from ninth through and graduate from there.
And was that common, or was it more common to maybe go work on the farm?
I think more girls went to high school than boys did. But maybe because boys could go to work, and girls, there wasn't as many things that girls could do. And even out of high school, there wasn't so many advantages. You could be a teacher or go to be a nurse or bookkeeper, but what else could you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raise the next generation.
You're right. So it was difficult, but at least they got a good education through the eighth grade, and I think everyone that came out of the eighth grade and they could pass the test had a good education already. I've been working here for quite a while, and I've been collecting information about the country schools, and I would like us here at the Historical Society to write a book about the Becker County country schools.
Yeah.
Before all of us that are too old to talk about it are gone.
Yeah. I know we've had a few book ideas in the last few months, and you've gathered a lot of information. We certainly need to act upon that.
And I wish that everyone that went to a school in Becker County, if you have pictures of anything at the school, and if you have stories about it, or if you just enjoyed your country school, to tell us about it, and we'll keep it recorded, because that's what history is. And if we don't record it and we don't keep it, then it's forgotten.
Yeah, and that really applies
to everything.
It applies to country school. It applies to your life. You may not find maybe that your life has been all that interesting, but you go a generation or two down the way, and there's going to be somebody that's researching their family and their genealogy, and they're going to want to know. So.
And people come in and they say, well, what about this school and where was it? You know, I don't know every school that was here, even though I've written different things about in each one of our folders. Like so many of the schools were torn down. Some of them were converted into homes. We have some town halls that were the nice schools, and so they could be converted into town halls. And some of them aren't so nice, but they're still. But it's interesting, and there's such a lot of history, and we don't want to lose it.
Absolutely.
You know, you keep on living as long as somebody remembers you.
That's right.
And if somebody can talk about our country schools, and even if it's just a bare place out there in the country, and they say, well, that's where the school was. And then if you can get somebody to tell a story of when it started and some of the interesting things, like our Goat Ranch School, there's nothing left. Someone even took away the pump now, and there's just a piece of metal going out of the ground.
It's still, the landmark, though, you know.
But
where
we still can go out there and we say, well, this is where the pump was, and so the school was this way from the from the pump, and the outdoor toilets were over here, and the yard looks like it would be so small, and to us it looks so big.
Yeah.
We played games and we did all kinds of things, and it doesn't seem like there's room to do much of anything, but it's there.
Yep. We're getting to the end of our time here, but is there anything else you'd like to share? Any particular interesting tidbits that you've found?
I don't know where all the school records went when the schools were closed. When we were at the fair this year, I was in the country schoolhouse for just on Saturday, and quite a few people came in and talked about their things that they have. And one man has got all the records of the school because his family bought the schoolhouse land. And he said, I've got all those school records. What should I do with them? And so if you're listening, can I say his name?
Maybe first name.
Bob. He said he's going to bring us those records. And so please bring us the records. And anyone that, if you know where the school records went, because a lot of times they were supposed to be turned in, I suppose, to the school district here, whichever school district they went to. Some went to Waubun, some went to Park Rapids,
sure.
Some to Detroit Lakes. And there's so many interesting things like that that we hate to lose.
Yeah.
And they're just laying around the country someplace.
Yep. If you've got those records sitting in boxes in the garage or the attic, we'd love to kind of gather them all together at the museum and have them as resources for the future.
And if you have some artifacts, we have a big bell. We don't have any little school bell. Every school had to have a little school bell, but of course maybe if somebody has it, they don't want to give it up, but but they could give it to us and we'd let them ring it every time they came.
absolutely. Well, Jean, it's always so much fun talking to you. You just know so much. We're so thankful that you share all of your knowledge with us.
I'm sure there's some people that know a lot more than I do too, but it is fun to talk about it, and like I say, I enjoyed school. I loved every minute of it, and I think a lot of people did.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy Art Culture Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.nijiradio.org.